Hey, everybody. Just want to start off reminding you once again that we post this show every day now. Weekly is how we used to do it. Daily is how we do it now. Thanks to you. You asked for it, so you're getting it. We hold no punches, so look for it. Truth bomb number one. U.S. President Joe Biden gives hope to Julian Assange. Truth bomb number two. The Australian Prime Minister says when it comes to Assange, enough is enough. Truth bomb number three. When you see how Mr. Biden says what he says, you may question his resolve to do it. I'll let you judge for yourself. I'm Rick Sanchez. This is Direct Impact. So the president of the United States was walking away after meeting and giving a discussion press conference with the Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida. They were at the White House when a reporter asked him a question about Julian Assange. Now, interestingly enough, the question seems to come out of left field. Here's why it happened, though. The government of Australia, in case you hadn't heard, which is where Assange is from, and this is important. We'll talk about that some more later. Is the government of Australia is formally requesting that the prosecution of Assange stop once and for all, cease. Why? Well, because Assange's cause, it's become really, really popular. And you know where it's become really popular? Australia. In Australia, that cause is very popular, both among the people and the members of parliament. The members of parliament just recently overwhelmingly voted for a call for him to be freed. The Australian parliament. In case you wanted to give too much credit to the prime minister, look at where this is coming from. Let's talk about the people of Australia. As for the people of Australia, in a recent poll, 79%, almost 80% of the people of Australia say it's time to give Assange his freedom. So the people of Australia are saying, why the hell is this guy not, why is this guy in prison? The Parliament of Australia is asking the same thing. People all over the world are asking the same thing. Now remember, Australia is an important US ally. So maybe that's why in the past they didn't give a crap what their own people thought. It was more important for them to have good relationships with the United States, right? Or maybe not. So as the president is walking with the Japanese prime minister, a reporter shouts this request from Australia. He does it, of course, the reporter, in the form of a question. Here it is.
Do you have a response to Australia's request that you end Julian Assange's prosecution?
Did you get that? That was it. I mean, that was the whole shooting caboodle, man. Biden uttered just three words. Three words. We are considering it. That's what he says. Even that's a huge change of direction for a government that has wanted Assange. They've suggested, U.S. officials have actually suggested the guy should be in prison for at least 150 years. 150 years. There's been talk that he should be executed if he comes to the United States. That's what some of the argument with the Brits was about, that they don't want him to be executed. But my God, why? Essentially for revealing embarrassing and secret but factually correct information about what the U.S. government did in Iraq and Afghanistan. Now, I mentioned this earlier, but this is really important. To the rest of the world, it's a no-brainer that Assange has suffered enough. But in the U.S., where the media is controlled in large measure by the military-industrial complex and its state sponsors, CIA, State Department, White House, etc., it's not so clear to people who live here in the United States, because that's not what they hear on the news or on any shows or in general media. Assange has been held in a high security prison in London now since he was arrested. That was back 2019. Before that, he spent seven horrible years hiding out, most of it living inside some Ecuadorian embassy room that smelled, according to people who went there, pretty bad. And he was stuck in there. He couldn't move to avoid extradition. Well, Mr. Biden's comment, it didn't seem like an enthusiastic confirmation. It was enough to elicit this response from the Australian Prime Minister. Here it is.
I believe this must be brought to a conclusion, and that Mr. Assange has already paid a significant price, and enough is enough. There's nothing to be gained by Mr. Assange continued incarceration, in my very strong view, and I've put that as the view of the Australian government.
Kind of hard to understand what language he's speaking, but anyway, the words being picked from that carefully read statement, enough is enough. Did you hear that? Enough is enough. Expect to see those words picked up as a rallying cry in the Assange defense. I wouldn't be surprised if you start seeing it on T-shirts. But look once again at how Mr. Biden's response, maybe it's just his old age, but I think it's worth asking, or maybe it's just me. I have some guests that I'm going to ask them answer this question. Watch this again. Watch this again. Does he even know what he's really responding to? Here.
Do you have a response to Australia's request that you enter Julian Assange's prosecution?
I don't know. You know, what may be even more encouraging for backers of Assange is the domestic and geopolitical pickle the U.S. now finds itself in that may cause it to do this, to throw a bone at the global South countries, as well as young voters in the U.S. who are overwhelmingly pro-Assange. Now, think about this. The U.S. is getting hammered for helping to massacre tens of thousands of women and children in Gaza. It is being questioned worldwide for feeding and prolonging the war in Ukraine. All this while countries like India, China, Russia continue to be seen as counterweights to the very militant policies of U.S. hegemony. For all those reasons, the Biden administration appears to be in desperate need of a win, something, anything, that could make it look like it's not so uncool. Or if nothing else, at least reasonable, right? And many believe that freeing Julian Assange, could offer just that. That's my take. Joining us now to discuss, Ted Rall, syndicated columnist, author, and award-winning cartoonist. Dan Lazara, writer, journalist, expert on the U.S. Constitution. Hey, let's start there. Is this really a constitutional issue? The world sees it as just common sense. Dan, you say what?
Well, it's certainly cruel and unusual punishment, I would say. Yeah, I mean, this is American paranoia at its worst. Assange has been slandered, abused, imprisoned for a dozen years. In fact, today is his fifth anniversary in Belmarsh Prison in London. But before then, he was spent 7 years in the Ecuadorian embassy under very uncomfortable circumstances. And he's been called a Russian agent. He's been called a threat, a physical threat to American intelligence officers. It's all complete nonsense. Joe Biden called him a high-tech terrorist. It's been extraordinary.
So this
certainly falls into the cruel and unusual category.
I'm thinking also in terms of international law as I look at this story. It's funny. I've been following this story as long as you guys have, and maybe I'm just not the smartest guy in the world, but I'm just now putting together the fact that this guy's from Australia. He's an Australian citizen. Why is it that the laws of the United States and Great Britain and everybody else's laws, except Australia's laws, are the ones that have been used all this time to prosecute this man? Why is it taking so long for Australia to stand up and say, Ted, hey, this is our citizen. What the hell are you guys doing over there?
Yeah, well, if I were an Australian national, I would be extremely displeased with the failure of my government to stand up for the rights of my co-national, right? I mean, it doesn't speak very highly of the Australians looking out for their people. Mm-hmm. Now, that said, what has changed here? Politics. Australia, for much of the period that Mr. Assange has been incarcerated for over the last 12 years, there was a right-wing conservative government in power there. So they didn't really care, and they cared far more about their relationship with the United States than they did about Mr. Assange. even though, I mean, look, here's the thing. Mr. Assange doesn't owe anything to the United States, to its laws, at all. I mean, this is as outlandish as if any of the three of us were suddenly arrested. I'm just going to choose a country randomly, but under Paraguayan law for violating Paraguayan national security. With all respect to Paraguay, I have no loyalty to Paraguay. I've never been to Paraguay. I don't care about Paraguay. I'm not against Paraguay, and neither does Julian Assange. Aside from having visited the United States, does he have any legal? He shouldn't be subject to U.S. law. It's an absurdity. What other countries do this? No one.
Yeah, I was taken aback by your choice of countries, by the way. I was, as I started to hear you make your argument, I was wondering, I wonder what country he's going to pick. And when you pick Paraguay, I was like, Paraguay? Okay.
Random.
Why not? I did mention something in my story. As I was writing the story and I was briefing myself and doing my own research, I came across, and I Googled, you know, his standing in Australia. And when I saw that recent poll they did, where almost 80% of the people in Australia are saying, he's one of us, he needs to be free, let this guy go. I think maybe that and the fact that the parliament, the members of parliament got together and said they put out a call for him to be freed as well. Don't you think, Dan, that may have moved this prime minister as well?
Oh, yeah, surely, of course. I mean, yeah, and it moves Biden as well, too, because, you know, I mean, Australia is part of the AUKUS alliance, the Australia-UK-US alliance. Mm. It's very important to the U.S., very important to the anti-Chinese constellation it's putting together. So, therefore, keeping the Australians happy is a very high priority as far as Biden is concerned. He definitely has Australian public opinion on his mind.
You know, I used the word cool at the end of my story. I did it for a reason. I chose that word very carefully. If you look at the world, and especially the global south, any place but maybe the United States, it's kind of cool to support Julian Assange. It means you're read up. It means you know what's going on. It means you stand for a sense of freedom and fairness, right? And I say that because... It hurts me to say this because I'm an American. I love this country, but we are just so uncool. We are not cool in this country. We don't get it. You stop on the street and ask Americans about Julian Assange, they think he's some bank robber or something. How do we get to this place and how do we change it? Ted, I mean, I'll give both of you guys a crack at this.
Well, I don't know how we change it. I mean, the problem is that Americans are incredibly propagandized by corporate mainstream media, and that's not changing anytime soon. That's why people are getting this ridiculous message while the rest of the world is getting the truth. I mean, you know, Americans aren't stupid. They're just brainwashed.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think if they get the facts, they hear the facts, then they'll arrive at the same conclusion as everyone else.
Yeah, and they're busy. They work. I mean, you got to work a lot of jobs in this country to be able to pay your bills. So, you know, you just listen to whatever the hell Anderson Cooper or Sean Hannity or some other idiot on cable news tells you, and that's what you think the truth is. I mean, and I guess that's where we are, Dan, right?
Yeah. I mean, America is an empire, and empires, export violence, and at home they keep their people poor and uninformed and propagandized, as Ted says. So the Americans have little idea what's going on in the world, except when their sons and daughters are sent off to war, and they have little idea who Julian Assange is, and they figure that, you know, if the government says he's a bad guy, then who are they to say otherwise? And the Democrats, by the way, have been as bad at this, if not worse than the Republicans.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it was Biden who called him a high-tech terrorist. Hillary Clinton was, you know, part of the lynch mob. And the Democrats spent years trying to pin the crime of Russian collusion on him. That was that was a major part of the Mueller report. It was completely untrue. There's no evidence whatsoever that the Russians fed him information. That was the weakest part of the Mueller report. But his reputation has been stained, and he'll never outlive it. It's been astonishing.
All right, Ted Rall and Dan, we thank you for taking us through this part. When we come back, Here's what I want to do. I want to start breaking down the case. What are the chances that this will see to fruition Julian Assange's actual freedom? We're going to talk about that on the other side. Stay right there. Do not go away.
Counter the Russian state control narrative.
Als Teil der Sanktionen gegen Russland gehen die westlichen Länder gegen russische Auslandssender vor.
Mais écoutez monsieur, c'est pas à vous de décider de qui est journaliste ou pas dans ce pays, on est en France quoi, c'est pas possible.
We will ban in the European Union the Kremlin's media machine. The state-owned Russia Today and Sputnik.
RT, Sputnik, even our video agency, roughly, all banned on YouTube.
Et merci à vous tous pour votre fidélité et votre soutien.
Wars are a result of lies. If wars can be started by lies, peace can be started by truth.
The importance of WikiLeaks can never be overstated. That transparency is an extraordinary journalistic achievement.
They just succeeded in finding documents that existed and making them available to the world public. I mean, what could be more honorable than that?
By publishing information and sharing information with the public, he was exercising the right to free speech. He did so in the public interest.
I've watched a tsunami of lies and smear engulfing endlessly, vindictively, perfidiously, and I know why they smeared him.
Isn't it ironic that no one who instigated that illegal and immoral war has been brought to justice? But the great truth teller sits behind bars, waiting 175 years of virtual death sentence. Are we going to let that stand?
So the news is that the President of the United States, when asked if he would consider this this request from the Australian government to finally just enough is enough, let Julian Assange go, the President of the United States said, and we quote, "We're considering it." Makes it almost sound like he had already had a previous discussion about it, or maybe not. I mean, God bless the man. We're talking about you know, a president who sometimes looked like he's barely awake. And we're all going to get there because he's old. So as I watched the video, I wasn't quite sure. Ted, starting with you, if you're good enough to join us, Ted and Dan both, do you think that Biden is really enthusiastic about doing this? Or do you think he even knows the case? Do you think he's cool enough to get it? And do you think he's going to see this through?
Well, Joe Biden's not going to be able to really buy any cool points, right? That's not going to happen ever.
Stop picking on Grandpa, Ted.
even if he releases Assange and goes out partying with him, I just don't think that's going to make him cool. But I do think he's aware of his administration is obviously on top of this. I would take this very seriously. At bare minimum, it's a gaffe, like sort of like when he came out in favor of gay marriage and when he was vice president under Obama. And then they kind of had to make it so. So I'm very optimistic here. Nothing's 100%, but I would say it's a very much better chance than 50% that Julian is going to get reunited with his wife and child after this in due course. It's way overdue. It's disgusting. I want to be really clear. He didn't deserve a single second behind bars. He didn't commit a crime.
Is there a possibility that, because these things sometimes get orchestrated and we don't even know about this, but they do. I mean, there's a possibility that someone in the Obama, pardon me, the President Biden's staff, you put Obama in my head, and President Biden's staff picked one of these reporters and says, do us a favor, ask this question. He's going to give you an answer. Ask this question. I've seen this done. This is the business I come from. So they plant the story. He answers it because they wanted to get this in the news. That's a possibility. Could be a possibility he did ask the question. The president did understand him, and he gave him a cogent answer. There's also the possibility, in fact, that Mr. Biden didn't understand the question, but just said we're considering it because that's what they tell him to say to all the questions. So, Dan, A, B, or C?
I think it's bona fide. I think he heard the question. I think his answer made sense. I think it's worth taking at face value. I think that Biden is considering it. It's a good sign. It's a very hopeful sign that maybe the persecution of Julian Assange may be finally coming to an end. I agree with Ted. There's every reason for optimism. And look at Joe Biden. He's facing a brutal campaign.
Yeah,
he's neck and neck with Donald Trump, and he's got a lot of things going against them. And the last thing he needs is some kind of hugely messy trial in which they pillory and torture some highly idealistic reporter.
Yeah.
That's the last thing he needs.
About the U.S.'s militaristic track record, which happens to be right now in the news, both in Gaza and in Ukraine. So let's go ahead and heighten the very thing which is making people not like you, right?
Yeah, and I could also add, this whole neocon warmongering military, BS, I mean, it just doesn't play well anymore. People are sick and tired of this kind of rhetoric about a high-tech terrorist at a time when the U.S. is supplying Israel with 2,000-pound bunker buster bombs, and that's real terrorism. The optics are really, really bad.
And
I think even Joe Biden realizes that.
Okay, fair. But it's just that when I see him sometimes, I'm not sure he's all there. And by the way, sometimes I'm not all there. We all have moments like that. So it's not just to pick on the president, but he is an older man. Fine. Let's talk about the case, the holding in this case. Dan, we'll stay with you. You write a lot about legal stuff. Do you believe that there really is, from a legal standpoint, looking at this case down the road, that there's a possibility that within the next weeks, months, whatever, that we will see this come to fruition? And take us through how that happens.
Oh, as far as I know, it's very simple. I mean, the U.S. simply would just inform the British that they have no desire to extradite Assange anymore, and that therefore he's free to go. Or there could be some kind of deal where Assange, would agree to leave for Australia. That's probably the likeliest outcome. But as Ted pointed out, Assange. He didn't commit his crimes on U.S. territory.
Yeah.
He was in Europe the entire time. He was, it really is like picking up, accusing, one of us of violating a Paraguayan security law. And it just makes no sense. But what it is the U.S. is not Paraguay. The U.S. is the global hegemon. And therefore, when it says, jump, everybody asks how high, with a very few, very small number of exceptions.
So is there any reason why is there any way that there could be some kind of obstacle to this? I'll give you an example. The British say, no, we're going to hold them a little longer. Could they hold them a little longer? Do we know the answer to any of these questions? I think Sweden's done with them. They dropped those rape charges that were there several years back, but could somebody else come forward and say, no, hold on, we're going to stop this? This thing has had so many stops and starts. Pardon me for not being optimistic, but I'm just wondering, is there anything else that could happen out there? Ted?
Well, I mean, theoretically, anything's possible. Maybe he, double parked one time when he was on vacation in Rome.
In Paraguay.
And they're looking for him to pay the rental car bill. But, as far as we know, there's no jurisdiction. As you pointed out, the Scandinavians aren't looking for him anymore. And it seems pretty clear that, the sort of as a corollary to what Dan said about the U.S. being a hegemon, if the U.S. wants him to go home to Australia, then he's going to go home to Australia, even on the extremely unlikely chance that someone else wants to take him into custody.
What about Australia? Is there a possibility they're going to? No, I can't see them doing anything other than having a parade when he gets there. Right, Dan?
I would imagine not. I mean, I don't know. There could be some kind of deal where he's on. I don't know. I'm speculating. House arrest, some kind of additional penalty, a slap in the wrist the Australian government may choose to apply. I really have no idea. But I'm my hope that he goes home. He's reunited with his family. He goes out in the lecture circuit. He writes a best-selling book. That'd be the greatest outcome possible.
Do you both agree that the United States might be inclined to do this because the United States right now just needs a win? They need something that doesn't make them look as horrible as they look right now in the eyes of the world, and especially the global South community? Either one of you.
I think it's more about, like, it's not a win. This is about damage control. The Julian Assange thing has been a fiasco. It's been a thorn in the side of the Biden administration since day one. Really, truly, I mean, even for Donald Trump, there were expectations that he would have let Assange go and pardoned him in the waning days of his administration. But of course, he was distracted tremendously by January 6th and the subsequent impeachment. So I think this is about undoing a bad thing. You can't score a win. They've already dug a deep hole.
Dan, 30 seconds, you get the last word.
Well, I just want to point out that the U.S. has really disgraced itself, but has Assange gone through the ringer? I mean, this guy has been beaten up by the most powerful country on earth. He has been physically harmed. He's been mentally harmed. It's been extraordinary. One man against an empire. He's amazing to have survived.
Yeah, he is. It is an amazing story. It will make a hell of a book and a hell of a movie. My thanks to both of you. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Ted, for your wisdom and the conversation. Here's what we do. And before we go, we want to remind you of our mission. Simple, really. We try to do this show to basically de-silo the world. Try not to live in little boxes where we all think as we're told or as we think we have to think. Truths don't live in little boxes, neither do we. That's what we base our show on. I'm Rick Sanchez. This is Direct Impact.